Episode 91.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, it's a big thank you to everybody who's reached out to me and said, welcome back to the air. That's felt really good. Also, we're going to talk about this big thing that happened with ad blockers and what that means for affiliate marketing. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes. Right when it's late at night, at the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, checking out my podcast today. All right. Hey, welcome back. It's Mark Mason from Dallas, Texas. I hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic day. I know that I am. I just got back from my middle daughter's Madrigal Feast concert. It's a very competitive select choir at her high school. She's in four choirs. This is my favorite by far. Let me give you a little taste. How about that? So if you're into music from the 1650s, this is your kind of thing. Actually, it's kind of an amazing sound. It's about, I don't know, 20, 24 singers, maybe probably 24 singers. They did a whole Madrigal skit and the meal and the concert afterwards and the whole thing. Very classy affair. When I entered the dining hall, I was announced as Mark of House Mason. First of his name, little throwback to Game of Thrones there. But yeah, really good stuff. And for those of you that aren't aware of this, I always sneak in some after the show comments after the ending music. So if this is your first time listening to the show and you want to hear a little bit more of Pam and her Madrigal, she's going to be at the end of the show. And by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and make the crazy assumption that the copyright on some of this music from the 1600s is run out. So we've got a lot of really cool stuff this week. And one of the things that I want to do before we get heavy into it is say a big thank you to all of the people that have taken the time to reach out to me on Twitter, on Facebook, to tell me they're glad I'm back on the air. I really appreciate that. It matters a lot to me. You know, we discussed this two episodes ago about getting that kind of feedback where people are telling you the show that you're doing really matters to them. That's pretty huge. So I want to take the time to say thank you. I got a lot of people, you know, even my friend down the street tweeted me and said, hey, man, I hear you. I'm on my way to the gym. I hear you. I heard from Crystal and Dustin and Kyle and Evan and my buddy Leslie. I mean, I'm all over the place with this one. So really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I also heard from a listener, Tom. Tom over at Stake My Rep, he's got a pretty cool app over there. You ought to check it out over at stakemyrep.com. Basically what it is, it's gamification of challenges that you can challenge yourself to. It's a little bit similar to some other apps that have been done, but this thing has the stake part, the gamification part. You have points that you can bid. People can cheer you on. They can join your challenge. I think this is kind of takes these things to the next level. Tom's a listener, so I wanted to give a Tom a shout out over at stakemyrep.com. If accountability is one of the things that you work on from time to time, go check it out and tell Tom you heard about him on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. That'll make him smile.
Direct from the Orient, it's time for the Internet Marketing Fortune Cookie.
All right. So for those of you that missed it a couple of weeks ago, I've brought to life this new segment that'll be recurring periodically, Late Night Internet Marketing Fortune Cookie. And this is to test out the theory that everything you need to know about internet marketing can be learned from fortune cookies. And I'm only half kidding. So today's fortune cookie, which came to me with a dish of Kung Pao chicken at a little place close to my day job, says, live, think, and act for today. Tomorrow may be too late. So I take this to mean that what I've been telling you all this time is absolutely true, that you need to do a little something today, even if it's just a little something. And that if you do that every day, just take a little action, build a little something, do a little something, create a little something, plan for something, and execute part of that plan. If you do that today, even if it's only 20 minutes, tonight before you go to bed, if you do that over and over and over again, it's going to add up. And occasionally, one of those little 20-minute sessions is going to turn into a two-hour juggernaut session where you really crush it. And you do those and you add those up over the weeks and the months and the years, and you're going to really like the results. So that's the act for today part. The second part of my fortune cookie today tells me that tomorrow may be too late. Now, there's lots of reasons for that. And one reason is just that things are changing and the market's changing, and some things are getting more difficult and some things are getting easier. But there's always the possibility that whatever your idea is will no longer apply in the future, will be much harder in the future, will be done fantastically well by somebody else. Better get started today. Be urgent, right? I mean, have that sense of urgency that makes you better than the next guy. Care more, do more, act more aggressively, act today, because tomorrow may be too late. Listen to the fortune cookie, people. It's trying to tell you something.
It's time to get to work building your internet business. One night at a time. One night
at a time. Okay, so I have this really good friend, lives here in the neighborhood, who follows the show online and so forth. And we have talked on and off about internet business for some time now. And he listens to Pat Flynn and other kinds of podcasts. He's a podcast guy. And he has some special areas of expertise that he's interested in starting an internet business around. So we've been having this discussion privately, generally over cold, sparkling, tasty beverages about, what does it take to get this done? And we've talked about sort of envisioning what the business would look like. What do you want it to be? Do you want it to be something like some of the thin affiliate sites that we've talked about before, like the corn sheller site that have 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 pieces of content, and they just take leads and cash them in for some kind of affiliate commission? Or do you want to do something maybe more like Security Guard Training Headquarters, where you take a topic and just a really narrow topic and just make the authoritative source on the internet for that very narrow topic, something that has a lot of search engine opportunity? Or do you want to create a bigger brand where you're part of the influence of the brand, you're a piece of it? Some of the people that are coming to that website, that online property, are coming to because the search engines are sending them there, but some of them are coming back, coming there in the first place and coming back because they're looking for you. So we've been talking about this with my buddy and trying to figure out what to do and how to brand it and so forth. So that's been a lot of fun for me. I really enjoy those conversations, and those kind of conversations with him give me ideas about what to talk to you guys about. So, you know, I think the question is, one of the questions that comes up in there is affiliate marketing still a valid strategy for these things? I mean, if you're going to build a thin website, does that still work? If you're going to build this online presence, does that work? And right now, I think my buddy is leaning to towards something more than just a thin site, you know, that's promoting one product or, you know, some of the things that we've talked about like that before. He's leaning more towards this bigger, more authoritative site. And I recently was, I guess a couple of months ago, I guess, listening to Mac Break Weekly at the time that iOS 9 was coming out. Now, if you guys aren't aware of it, iOS 9, for the first time, allows this idea of ad blockers. Not for Safari. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but man, sometimes when you go to load a site on Safari or any web browser, any mobile web browser, they're just slow. And you never know why, whether it's the server or your internet connection. But one thing you can always notice is a lot of times there are tons of ads on these pages. And usually the ones that I really notice it on are these things that are designed for ad clicks. The top 10 reasons that, you know, XYZ happened. And you go to the website and each reason is on a separate page. And each time you hit it, it loads another ad. And basically what's happening is some content providers are getting so ad click crazy that they're just really, really putting so many ads on their pages that it's affecting performance. And then there's the other issue of sometimes I don't want to see those ads. I mean, I just don't want to see that Viagra ad or whatever it is that's on that page. So there's, for a long time on the PC and Mac side, there's been this idea of ad blockers like in Firefox. Well, iOS has made it possible to purchase ad blockers for Safari. And a lot of content providers have expressed concern because this is how they're feeding their families. I mean, yeah, you may not want to listen to those ads, but you want the content, you the listener. And so, or in the case of reading, you may not want to see those ads, but you are wanting to watch that video or you are wanting to read that article. And so the question is, how do these content creators actually get paid if they can't serve ads or if the ads they're serving are blocked? It's the same problem that the TV networks have with DVRs. I bet the number of TV commercials that I actually watch whenever I watch TV is down by, I bet it's down by 95%. I mean, sometimes when I want to watch something live, like a Texas A&M football game, I'll actually intentionally start watching the game 20 minutes late so that I can skip through the commercials. And by the end of the football game, I'll be caught up to real time. So, you know, I'm not seeing as many commercials, and I think content providers on blogs and other kinds of content platforms are concerned that this is going to cut into their revenue and make it impossible for them to pay the people that are creating this content. I think it's a legitimate concern. So when, you know, this has been covered on MacBreak Weekly, which is a podcast by Leo Laporte, a very, very popular podcast, listeners all over the world. I mean, Leo's the Zen master of podcasting. He was talking about this because it's an iOS 9 thing, so they were covering it on the show. Listen to what Leo has to say about where advertising is going as far as content is concerned. By the way, the two voices that you're going to hear, the Indian-sounding voice, that sounds like racial stereotyping. One guy is clearly Leo Laporte. One guy has an Indian accent. The Indian guy you're going to hear is Om Malik. And Om, he's the founder of GigaOm. He's a venture capitalist with True Ventures, or at least he has been recently. He's an author of a book called Broad Bandits, which is a really cool telecom book. He writes for Fast Company. So he's got a really smart guy. The other guy, of course, is Leo Laporte, who knows a lot about what's going on in internet advertising. It's very interesting. Here you go.
The core reason advertising exists is to sell people things, whether it was physical things or digital things, or in terms of like content, it's selling content. But it was all about getting people to buy something else. And he says, what if you remove that need to buy something else, like remove the middleman, the advertising, and made it easier for people to go from you know, let's say, what you and I are talking, straight to a purchase, you know, buy something from that. Like, you know, you and I talk about a device, we like it, other people believe what we're saying, and they go buy it.
There's oh, that's always better than advertising, isn't it?
Right. I think the internet enables that behavior much more effectively.
Yes. In fact, the reviews on Amazon, for me anyway, are a must stop. Before I buy anything, I read the reviews.
If you look at Wirecutter, is another good example of a company which is succeeding by just being saying, you know, this is what we really feel about this device, and if people want to buy it, they just click on a link. Or they don't have to click on their link. Like, that's the even... So I think the need for advertising is going to start to go away.
Does Wirecutter not have any ads?
Nope.
So the revenue they make, and it's, I'm sure, significant at this point, comes from the affiliate codes on the links.
Yeah.
That Brian Lamb's no dummy.
No, because he's catering to just one audience, which is his reader.
Yeah.
I think that's the number one thing which works for that site, is that, you know, they take everything they write very seriously. If you don't, you know, if I can't trust what they have written, I'll probably not shop or never click there. So I think that's the key thing.
Okay, so now remember the context of this conversation that these two guys are having is that, you know, ads may be going away. And what Ohm says is, hey, look, what really works, what really people want is this kind of thing that you get with really good affiliate marketing, the kind of affiliate marketing that we've talked about before, where you're adding value and helping people make a purchasing decision because you've told them things about the product family or the product category or a particular product that help them make a buying decision. And as he mentions, that's one of the things that really makes Amazon so powerful. In fact, a lot of times when I'm standing in a store, I'm a huge Amazon guy, but a lot of times when I'm standing in a store, I'll look up something on Amazon just to kind of see what the reviews look like. And if it's 465 reviews and it's 4.5 stars, I'll make the purchasing decision right then, especially if I need it right then. So that kind of advice that you can get from people that are doing affiliate marketing well, that's really sort of where this thing is headed. So I doubt very seriously that these ad blockers are going to cause total gloom and doom. If anything, it's a signal to the advertising industry that, or to the blogging industry, that maybe they've gone a little too far with the ads. They've gotten other signals like that. For example, Google and their search engines, they also take a look at how many ads there are above the page fold and how many ads there are in general, and will penalize you in search if you have too many ads on your page. So there are these signals going back to the content providers that are saying, hey, maybe you're going too far with the ads. But in the face of all that, what Leo and Ohm are saying is, hey, what we really like, the thing that makes sense to us is this kind of affiliate marketing. And here's some examples of where it works. So if you're thinking about, like my friend is, adding affiliate marketing into your strategy, that sounds like something that still works. I mean, I know it works, but now here's Ohm Malik and Leo Laporte telling you that this is also something that makes sense to them in the going forward future. Not just what's worked in the past, which a lot of people can tell you about, but what they see as working in the future. That's another vote out there from really smart people for affiliate marketing. You know, while we're on the topic of these ad blockers, I don't really think that, you know, maybe you are putting these kinds of ads on your website and you depend on that ad revenue. I don't really think that this spells total doom and gloom for advertising, right? Now, understand that right now, today, as we sit here, 20% of all, not just mobile, 20% of all web traffic, web browsing traffic, happens on mobile Safari. That's right. 20% of all web traffic, all the PCs in the world, all the Android phones in the world, all the iPhones, 20% of all web traffic comes from iOS devices. That's kind of amazing. So as iOS 9 goes, I mean, iOS 9 has the ability to put a dent in what's going on in the advertising world right now. But it's not really clear to me how many users are actually going to take the time to search out, download, and install ad blocking apps. People will. It's just not clear that that's something that's really going to continue. I mean, it's been in the news, and so people are installing these apps, but compared to the number of iOS devices on the market, it's not clear that a significant amount of iOS users are really going to do that. There's other things going on here too. And I think one of the problems with these kind of ads is there's a lot of click fraud that limits the effectiveness of this kind of advertising anyway. So maybe blocking some of it's not such a bad idea. Some studies suggest more than 10% of ads that you pay for when you buy click ads are fraud. It's also pretty clear that there are going to be technical ways to work around at least some of this ad blocking by statically coding ads into the app. So I don't think the world is ending. I just think it's interesting that when this topic comes up, what Leo Laporte and O'Malik wanted to talk about was affiliate marketing. That's pretty cool.
It's time for your late night tech tip. Tech tip. Tools, tips, and tricks for your internet business.
And so the last thing I wanted to talk about today was some new feature in Google Analytics that I plan to play with. I like metrics. For those of you that don't use Google Analytics, I recommend unequivocally that you instrument your website with Google Analytics. I know a lot of people have in the past made arguments about how adding Google Analytics to your site can tip Google off to things that you might be doing that you shouldn't be doing. Maybe you have a sort of black hat backlinking strategy or gray hat, and you're worried about installing Google Analytics will kind of tip Google off to what you're doing. I haven't ever seen any evidence of that. I've done every kind of crazy link scheme under the sun. Google Analytics doesn't seem to be a factor in all that. And all of my SEO guru buddies use Google Analytics, so I don't think that's an issue for you. I feel the same way about Webmaster Tools, by the way. Recently, Google rolled out something they're calling calculated metrics. This is a really cool thing. So you can do math to make a new metric. And one of the things that that's brought up in an article, I saw this in Marketing Land. You could take something like the revenue that you're getting, which is something you can track in Google Analytics, and the number of users, and you could create a new metric called revenue per user. So you make your users go up, but your revenue doesn't, then your revenue per user is going down. Maybe you have a conversion problem. On the other hand, if you take some action so that you're getting a better quality lead, you're paying more for that lead, but that's okay because your revenue per user is going up. You can see those kind of things by creating this new metric. Marketing Land gives some other examples like currency conversion and other cool stuff that you can do. But anyway, if you're a Google Analytics geek like I am and you enjoy using it, this is a cool new feature that you may have missed because at least last I checked, Google had not yet even put out a blog post on this. It was just something that was listed in the features that, when they did a release, the features that they added. So it hasn't gotten a lot of publicity yet. It might be cool for you to go and play with. Okay, so that's it for this week. I will be back next week with my interview of John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire. You are definitely going to want to stick around for that episode. Last episode, in case you missed it, I had Pat Flynn back on the show, and he's talking about his new book, Will It Fly? You definitely want to go over to willitflybook.com and sign up to get notified about that. A lot of people very excited about that book. I can tell you that Pat's draft is submitted to the publisher, editor, person who's going to kind of drive that thing the rest of the way for him. He's done writing. Current target for that book is February, so that's very exciting. So that's last week. And this next week, be sure and tune in for my episode with John Lee Dumas. Until next time, go do something. Take some action. Build your business. Ciao.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
Okay, I had so much fun tonight at the Madrigal dinner at my daughter's high school. She rocks, quite literally, and this was amazing. I leave you with an excerpt from that concert, recorded on an iPhone. Not the best audio in the world, but actually the iPhone does a pretty decent job of capturing this. I hope you enjoy. Ciao.
Mark, again, I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explained to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.